Hello, everybody, and this is podcast number one of Super Chernobyl. My name is Martin Blasek. I'm the writer-director, and with me is...
Natasha Blasek, and I'm a Super Chernobyl. I'm an actress, and yes, and a crazy person.
And, you know, this project is something that's... you know, we do a lot of our own projects, but this is something that is special to us because a couple of fans, the one in particular, reached out to us and said, wouldn't this be a great idea? And has brought this into happening, and we're having a wonderful time. We're learning a lot about superheroines, and we're not, either one of us, naturally from the comic world or the superhero world. Would you say?
Yes, but then now that I'm actually watching the movies, and I thought, like, maybe I didn't know how much I loved it. I just never put my, like, you know, mind like this. That's why it's so exciting to learn so much more. And thinking, actually, I'm really into that.
I mean, as a kid, I always liked all the usual stuff. Superman. I'm a Superman guy more than a Batman guy, because Superman has powers and Batman just has a suit and
brooding.
Introduce our wonderful guest.
Well, we have a special guest on episode one, and this is a costume designer, cosplayer, an empowered female, and a genius, as far as I know.
Thank you.
The owner of Cape and Cowl Creations, specializing in cosplay costumes. And please welcome to Super Chernobyl,
Abby
Pacolo.
Join the ranks of everyone who cannot pronounce my name, which is everyone. It's cool.
I practice.
Except my family.
But we need to have a round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you. It's Pacolo. Don't even worry about it. Even my friends can't say it.
No.
So thank you for being our guest today. And you know, at this point, you know, we're deep into making this costume, and so we've learned a lot and really appreciating everything you're doing. How on earth did you get into being a superhero, superheroine costume maker, designer, creator? And actually, what is it you would say that you do?
Oh, no, I think that you've pretty much nailed it. I would say that I am a superhero costume designer, cosplay costume designer, because it's not just superheroes anymore. It's also, it's branched out to video games and movies and TV shows, as well as comic books, and it's not all superheroes, but it's mostly superheroes. That's the bread and butter of what I do. How did I get into it? Well, there's a couple of significant sources. One is a very dear friend of mine who was a huge comic book nerd and just got me really into comic books. We used to date, and that was when I got really into comic books. And I wanted, at that time, I got really inspired. I really wanted to start making costumes because there's some wonderfully empowered and empowering female characters in the comic book universe that most people don't know about because they never make it into the movies. Mm.
By the way, as I'm learning about this, I see the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And as I'm learning about comic books, these characters are not like brand new characters. They go way back.
They do. They go way back. And yeah, like one of the, you'll never see her in a movie, I'm sure. One of my favorite female empowered characters, heroines, is Batgirl, the Cassandra Cain Batgirl from the comics. Because, she's so, she's so empowered, it's a little scary.
Like,
it's more than a little scary.
Like, what do you love about her? What is so
she's
special?
She's more of a badass than some of the guys.
Oh, wow.
And she's... you know, her weaknesses are emotional, and primarily emotional, because her backstory is she was raised by the world's most evil assassin, the world of the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not sure if she's actually his biological daughter, and by we I mean me. But he would raise these girls as his daughters, but the only thing he would teach them is how to kill people.
He's a villain.
Yeah, he's a total villain. And how to kill people and how to stay alive. Nothing else. He didn't teach them to talk, to read, you know, he wasn't affectionate towards them, anything. So they're very, you know, socially...
It's like a soldiers.
You know...
Yeah.
Is he a Ukrainian? I'm joking.
No. Oh my goodness. Americans thinking that all the villains in the world come from the Eastern Bloc.
But they do.
No, only some of them. Some of the other villains
but
are American.
But the good ones are.
We like our villains to have sexy accents. Yes, what can
I
say?
I'm taking pride in my
you
villains.
You should. Take pride in those villains. They're great. But anyway, so Cassandra breaks away from her evil father because she doesn't like it. And, you know, she has no love and no support in her life. And somehow she stumbles across Batman in Gotham City, and he takes her in and becomes the father she never had, sort of, in the sense that Bruce Wayne, he's still got a long way to go toward being emotionally healthy, but at least he, you know, teaches her more basic things like reading and writing and getting in touch with her feelings a little
bit. As a grown-up.
Which is funny, actually, upon reflection, because he's definitely not in touch with his feelings.
As a grown-up woman,
No, she's not grown-up. I think she must be a teenager.
Okay.
Or maybe a tween.
Batgirl? Wait, what's her name?
Batgirl.
Batgirl.
She's Batgirl.
Okay.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, there's also a Batwoman, but that's a whole other kettle of fish. Mm. And anyway, there's this moment in the comics where when Batman leaves Gotham City to go elsewhere, he leaves her in charge. Not Robin, Batgirl. Because she's the stronger of the two. And there's a point where they get captured by the Penguin and Batgirl and Robin. And he's like surrounded them with a whole bunch of other supervillains. And he's like, right, now for our amusement, you will fight each other to the death. And
it's like Gladiator.
Yeah, and Robin and Batgirl.
Are you not entertained?
Oh, and Robin and Batgirl have a moment to confer and decide, okay, obviously one of us has to pretend to die.
Uh-huh.
And Batgirl says it needs to be me, so we're gonna fight, and like I'm gonna pretend to die, I'm gonna take the fall. And Robin's like, okay, so they do it, and she takes the fall.
Oh, she
and
has
the Penguin,
heart.
And the Penguin gets up and says, I don't believe you. I think she's bluffing. I'm going to shoot her.
Oh no.
And if she twitches, then I'll know she's bluffing.
Oh no.
And he shoots her, and she doesn't twitch. And then they all leave, and Batgirl, you know, is actually. Well, she's not fine, but she's all right. And she gets up, and Robin is like, how did you do that? And she goes, your dad never played that game with you. And he goes, what game? And she says, the game where he shoots you and you can't twitch.
Oh my God, this is twisted.
Yeah.
Wait, so this is the character you relate to the most?
I don't relate to her. I would not say that. I just admire her because she's insanely badass. And her costume is fantastic and horrifying. And yeah, anyway, this is
like
a really long tangent. But I really wanted to get into costumes for cosplay right then and there, but I didn't think it was a practical career move. And it wasn't until many years later, and
wait,
a completely...
Were you like a little kid, a teenager?
No, I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. I was in my 20s when I really started to have that. I was a costume designer of all different sorts before that.
Mm-hmm.
I did some film, I did some television, I did a lot of theater, dance costumes, wrestling costumes.
Oh,
so
wow.
Something got you into costumes even before.
Oh, long ago, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then it was another friend many years later... who I met and who said, no, you can make a career out of cosplay costuming. There's a whole world of that. Let me show it to you. And he did, and it was fantastic. It was a wonderful journey, and I have been there ever since.
You know, I would say, just from what little that we're knowing about it, because we did a small Comic-Con just attending with Natasha doing signings, and as we're getting into the superhero thing, we're finding out there's a very nice world of people who are involved in Comic-Cons. It's really a lovely group of people as far as we can
I really enjoy it. And, you know, from you I see so much passion and love for... And, you know, like, I was wondering how will it affect me, like, just going through this process.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, as a girl, like, lots of fears and lots of issues. And I do feel like... It does help me. It's like, even like talking to you, like, you know, fitting the costume and stuff,
mm-hmm.
like listening to your passion, why you like this world so much. I was like, yeah, it's like, it is empowering. It's like, yeah, I can do that. I can be the person, you know, I want to be. Or I think it was like my biggest fear in life, actually, not to live up to a potential.
Oh, yeah.
That's why, I mean, I can be really harsh on myself, and, like, if I don't work out, I was like, okay, I'm given this, and I don't, like, do it regularly. It's, like, not good enough. The same with, you know, with any kind of, like, you know, I'm not smart enough, I'm not reading enough.
Yeah.
But you know, like owning who you are. That's just so wonderful and empowering and beautiful. And that's why, like, going through this. And, by the way, Chernobyl is, she's from Ukraine, and that's where I'm from. So for me, it's like really, really special, especially because of what country is going through now.
I thought this was just about hot chicks and tight clothes.
Shut up! That's exactly what's wrong with this world.
Yeah, that's, no. That's maybe the only little, like, negative side that I see to the cosplay world. But it's small, and it's getting smaller by the day, because it's becoming, first of all, it is a very positive community. There's mm-hmm. a lot of love and a lot of acceptance and empowerment in it. There's only a small contingent of, like, people who say nasty things and try to shoot each other down. They're there, but they're getting smaller, and it's because it's getting less socially acceptable for those people to be the unpleasant, you know, miserable people that they are in public every day. I mean, people who are harassing women, or, like, you know, just saying unpleasant things about each other's appearances, or just generally being negative, that's getting less and less acceptable. And there's more and more of the community who are stepping out and saying, hey, you guys need to knock that off. It's not okay. It's not part of what we do.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, and it's like, it is. In any community, you know, if that would be majority of people who'd be doing this, that mm-hmm. we will change the world, that's for sure.
Of course. Yeah. And it's true. It's definitely empowered me measurably since I've started. And I mean, I was telling you guys the other day, and I'm probably going to say this on every podcast, but there's science behind the fact that if you stand like a superhero, it actually affects your brain mm-hmm. in a positive way. And it makes your brain release chemicals that give you, you know, a better self view, self-worth, self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's like a superhero yoga class, superpower class.
I like it, superpower class.
Yeah. You don't even need a class, just do it in front of your mirror.
No, I mean, that's like really, really wonderful, because I'm coming from a background like where, you know, you're victimized for being a woman, mm-hmm. you're victimized, and actually I like that the costumes are sexy. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, we're women and we have shape, and mm-hmm. it's like, I don't feel like I should be ashamed and cover myself like in burkas and stuff, you know. That's the same kind of thing, I feel like, would be. Mm-hmm. So it's like where, and the same thing, like where I'm coming from, like female can be, you know, putting down a female. If we're not gonna raise ourselves up, who will? I mean,
right.
I actually always felt like growing up that men are more supportive of each other than women were. And it always was like buckling me. It's like, what's going on there? Why are we like not supporting each other? And then like seeing this like change in society now, that it's like, oh yeah, we do need to pay attention. We don't need to put each other down. It's like rising boats.
If women learn to get along, men won't have a chance.
No, but that's
Maybe. No. I've seen it at play. I mean, I've actually seen, it's not totally hopeless. I think you're right in the sense that women have, I think maybe as a group, maybe we have a little more of a capacity for that kind of like underhanded meaning. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a scientist, so I'm not sure that that's true. No. I think it's...
What's the nature and what's the nurture?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it might just be a trend that's been allowed to carry on for too long. But I've also seen situations where women are wonderfully supportive to each other. Like, for example, I was working in an office, one of my boring office jobs one time, and it was near a mall, and there was a Victoria's Secret in the mall. And this girl who was just an office temp, working at our office for a few days, she and I started taking lunch breaks together. And one day we noticed, oh, hey, there's a sale at Victoria's Secret. Mm-hmm. And, like, I met this girl that day. I'd never met her before. And we decided, hey, let's just go shopping for underwear together. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, sweetie, what size and, like, things do you like? And we were, like, helping each other out.
Could you guys do a pillow fight during the same thing? That would be cool.
And, like, in our nightgowns, right? But I'm like, men don't do this. Men don't go underwear shopping with total strangers and, like, help them find things that look good on them. Yeah. And we just sort of fell into them. We weren't even, like, we weren't friends. We didn't become friends. But it was just a moment of, like, mutual female support that just kind of happened. And there's a lot of moments like that, and they're really lovely and darling, and like, and we shouldn't discount their existence, because they're there.
That's totally true, and that's why then you find it is just so wonderful. And actually, that's when I think, like, then I moved here, like, in this country, I see it more than I don't know, it's like, it's social things, because, you know, like, I feel like then it's a development country, it's like, you know, every man for itself, mm-hmm. like, every woman for herself, it's like very competitive, and very, and that's why this movement that female, you know, you don't need somebody's approval to tell you that you're great, mm-hmm. or like that you are who you are, that's, it's like, it's been like really big struggle for me, and, you know, I've been abused a lot, and I'm not gonna cry now, but
wait, is there?
Yeah,
there are people in the church where you don't cry.
It's a random one, but no,
some of
but
them
like
are good tears, right?
Yeah, no, but like I did go through a lot of things, and instead of support, like I've seen like, oh, it must be your fault because what were you wearing, and it's like, oh, why were you even walking there? It's like, so, and yeah, so it's a big deal for me, like being like, you know, coming to my own and like realizing I'm good like it is, and I just mm-hmm. need to let it go and move on. So that's, and I think part of this process is kind of like, you know, making it better and better and better.
Mm-hmm. It's a dual thing. I mean, everybody in America, we're kind of obsessed with being self-made people, but it's kind of an illusion, because the fact is none of us can get anywhere without support from some other people. We're not, you know, islands. We're not perfectly self-sufficient.
I am an island.
No,
I'm a rock.
No, I mean, honestly, I'm like, I have a self-sufficient, you know, nature, mm-hmm. and it's a challenge for me to learn to ask for help.
So yeah.
Me too. I'll tell you what's a challenge of in this project, because, you know, we are going to need people, but we're starting this is a micro-budget project here at the beginning, mm-hmm. and I'm going to need help. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be, you know, a real growth experience, you know, for both
delegating.
Of us and delegating, because, you know, you can't grow.
Yeah.
You can't do it all. You can do each individual job, but you can't do them all in a certain time frame.
Not unless you clone yourself.
But no. I mean, I think
now that's the episode coming up.
Yeah.
By the way, we can hit all kinds of things. There's all these different kind of superheroes. I'm learning about this. Some people, like giant girls, have, for one episode, Natasha's going to get some rays, and she's for about like a 6 or 7 pages, she'll be like a giant.
Oh, that's awesome.
Really, I like that.
That's so cool.
So anything can happen. Hey, who's a character that you're really digging these days? I mean, Batgirl's happening.
Well, Batgirl was sort of the gateway drug.
What about Supergirl? Because there's this TV show coming out, and that's like hot news right now.
I want to like Supergirl. I'm not particularly interested in her.
But this
I don't
is
know
a,
why.
Seriously,
there's
this
no
is
good
a
reason.
TV network show with mm-hmm. a superhero is a lead.
I haven't, you know, I'll wait until it comes out, and then I'll watch it, and I'll tell you what I think. I'm not a big fan of Supergirl. No particular reason. I just have other characters I like more.
Mm-hmm.
I think, because, I mean, I just learned there's two different kinds. I mean, I should have figured it
what
out already.
Kinds?
But there's the kind who, like, have actual superpowers, like mm-hmm. a Superman. He's, like, strength and vision and flying. And then the Batman, so they don't have actual, they're human beings who just do really extraordinary things, and
a female character's. Let's see, who's my like favorite female character? It's tricky. I have a lot of love for Rogue, from the X-Men.
X-Men. Mm-hmm.
Really, a lot of love for her because her
is that
powers.
Halle Berry's?
No, that's Storm.
Oh.
Storm, yeah.
Yes. Rogue is the Anna Paquin plays her.
Oh,
the red hair, the tough talking red hair.
No.
I'm revealing my depth.
She's the brunette with the southern accent and the white streak.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and
I knew that.
I like Rogue because she sort of touches all the points. She's super strong because one of her mutant powers is that she can absorb other people's powers.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone she touches, she can have whatever powers they have.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
She's ridiculously strong, and she's so strong, in fact, that literally no one can touch her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
As soon as they do, they start to die
and
weaken.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
a character.
So,
Sorry. No, that's a character who could not... like was challenging like for her to get a like guy to be close to him because she was
she can't
like, yeah, yeah
it's,
she was like,
relationships are a challenge for her because
yeah.
she literally
okay.
can't get close to people.
Yeah.
He's like, I'd like to kiss you, but I don't want to hurt
yeah.
you.
I'm gonna
but you know,
kill
actually,
you.
There's a metaphor there because there are people who are such male or female who like like they suck off the life force of every individual
because they love you so much.
Yes.
Yes, and it's not out of the... Yeah.
And then it's. I think it's also a metaphor for emotional unavailability or, like, closedness. Although in her case, it's not that. It's just she can't have the physical demonstrations of emotional availability so much.
But I know those relationships in my life, then it's like, people love you so much and like and you just, you know, smother you or whatever it's called.
And you get like swept up in that pattern and, yeah. And you're in there before you even realize it.
Yeah. So she's, I love her for a lot of reasons, and I like to dress up as her, and it's lucky that she's got brown hair, 'cause I've got brown hair. And the male characters, there's more male characters that I really strongly identify with. One of them is Batman. I am Batman, just so you know.
You're a Batman.
I'm the real Batman.
Girl, yeah.
It's true. Like everybody thinks it's Bruce Wayne, but it's really me. and Wolverine is the other one. And I like Wolverine because he's obvious. He, like, you will never be mystified by Wolverine. He will let you know exactly what he's thinking. And, like, if he meets you, he's not going to be polite to you if he doesn't like you. He'll tell you to piss off. But if he likes you, he'll be straightforward about it. Just, like, you know where you stand. And he's
like
a doggy
with a tail, because if he's mad, the claws are out.
Yeah. You're going to... Well, or he'll just, like, glare at you or, you know, something. But, like, I like him because I feel like...
He's a wolf.
And you go back before the movies with Hugh Jackman, I'm guessing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Hugh Jackman does a great job, but that's not what Wolverine's supposed to look like. But he portrays the character so well. And he's handsome. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, we forgive him for not actually looking... Wolverine's supposed to be short and stocky.
Mm-hmm.
Really short and really stocky. He's not supposed to be tall and handsome.
He grew up. He was eating a lot of spinach.
Yeah. Hey,
that's a little movie magic for you.
It doesn't matter, though, because he gets the character so right. And that's, like, that's really great. And I will be sad to see him go. I hear he's retiring from Wolverine. And
oh, no.
That's what I hear. I hope it's not true, but... He was good.
I really like him. Right, yeah. I really like him.
You know, I originally envisioned Chernobyl as about 3'5" and no.
And then I shrinked.
With blonde hair. And,
oh no!
Oh, but
can get a wig.
But going back to the thing about female like mutual support and cooperation, I actually love the Birds of Prey.
Who are the Birds of Prey? I don't even know.
They're a somewhat fluid group of female superheroes who band together to accomplish things from time to time. So it usually includes Huntress. She's one of them. And these are all DC characters, for those of you who don't know. Huntress, who's basically, she's a female Batman. She has no actual superpowers. She's just a badass with lots of equipment. And Black Canary, who is the one that
has
the scream.
She's got the canary scream.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
And those are the main ones. It's sometimes also Lady Shiva. It's sometimes also Batgirl, not Cassandra Cain. Well, I don't know if Cassandra Cain ever participated in Birds of Prey.
Cassandra Cain is the character's name?
The Batgirl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they've invented different ones.
There have been different
Batgirls
over the time.
It's pretty kind of, it's like Johnny Depp says in Pirates of the Caribbean about the Pirate's Code. It's kind of more like guidelines.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So
that's
why
they're more.
We need to reboot the thing to kind of go a different way.
Go with the flow.
Yeah. Sometimes Catwoman is involved in it. The Oracle, who is Barbara Gordon, who is Jim Gordon's daughter. She was her deal. Oh, this is going to get complicated. I don't want to get into the details. DC Comics keeps changing the storyline. They keep rebooting their universe. Originally, Barbara Gordon was Batgirl, and she got shot in the spine by the Joker and was then paralyzed. From, like, the waist down, I think. And so she became the Oracle. So she's in a, like, super high-tech wheelchair, and she's, like, the computer central person, and Batman and everybody can patch into her and be like, Oracle, find me the blah-blah-blah, and she'll do it.
Oh, wow.
And she just sort of directs them from her little secret headquarters. But, so she's usually involved. But then in the new universe now, she, like, is somehow fully mobile and is Batgirl again.
I love it. They can just kind of...
I don't know.
More like guidelines, you know?
Like, and they acknowledge that she is the same person that she did get shot in the spine by the Joker, so I don't know where their explanation for that is going to be.
So you dress up. You go to the cons, right?
Mm-hmm. I do.
You get exhausted after a day of promenading and taking pictures?
Yes. And also I'm lazy. I don't do it for the whole day. I do it for about 2 hours. And then I quit, and then I go take the costume off and put on normal clothes and have a life.
It's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of energy.
It is.
Honestly, I got to tell you, just going through this costume process, I'm a little shocked at how many visits and fittings we put together in this. I had no idea. It's like, You don't just kind of add water and
no,
stir it up.
No, it's like it's so detailed and it's like such a beautiful work. I mean, you're doing amazing work. And
Thank you.
I can't wait, guys, for you to see the costume because you just look so freaking cool.
It's fun. But, you know, not all costumes are created equal. Some costumes are just zip,
yeah,
doo,
like
doo,
zip
doo,
it
I'm
like,
done.
Yeah.
This is not one of them because, that's on purpose. Yeah. You know, we decided to make something particular here because this is a brand new superhero and coming out into the world, and she needs to look amazing. She needs to not look like just another one off the rack.
No, I think you accomplished. I mean, I'm just so thrilled to see. It's like really detailed, and it's beautiful, beautiful work. And
there's a secret on how the cape attaches to the...
Yes.
It's not a secret. It's a poorly kept secret, but we won't tell you right now.
Oh, it's a secret, right?
Science.
Yes,
it's
science.
The magic of science.
It's a science versus cape.
Mystery is much more exciting than revealing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's like... Oh, and we may debut our costume tomorrow. We're going to go to pre-Comic-Con bash.
Yep, this is Comic-Con 2015 coming up next week.
Here in LA. And it's like very nerve-wracking
and it's exciting.
Ready
to get the costume out for the first time.
We'll take it for a spin.
This is hilarious, too, because this is the first year for a while that I'm not going to Comic-Con. But it's also the first year that I am going to the pre-Comic-Con bash. So this will be interesting. I've never seen this event take place. I'm curious to
I know.
It's going to be a party.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's going to be a party.
It's a hotel. It's off hotel across from the Beverly Center. So.
But I want to know what are you going to think because, you know, we've been in Comic-Con. We actually will go to Comic-Con this year.
Yeah, I'm performing at a party around Comic-Con. And for another project, which is great, it's a spoof on Once Upon a Time, the ABC show.
Ooh.
And so we'll be performing live on this pirate's boat. It's really cool. And it's I looked at the tickets for it. It's like $75 just for that thingy.
Yeah. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. And so, and you're going to be a musical director and you produce the songs.
I am, truly. And but, you know, the shout out is where it goes to Aaron Stegman is the writer-director of that project. And it's... Pretty cool project.
Yeah, and what I like about Erin, she's really inspiring. I personally really enjoy work with the female directors.
Mm-hmm.
No, and you of course. But I mean, I have never worked with Erin, but I see how amazing she is, and she's very inspiring for us because we kind of like start moving on more, doing our stuff, than you were working with her.
But while we're there doing that, we're going to have you dressed as
Chernobyl. Oh, yeah.
Have our literature, and we say it's Super Chernobyl.
No, it's like...
Do you know what your superpowers are, right?
I can fly. And I'm super
that's
strong.
That's not all.
And I have a laser vision. Do I?
Lazy vision?
Laser.
Laser vision.
Yes.
And the other one.
What is it? Oh, he's making fun of me because I can't pronounce this word.
And we have a song, too.
Invulnerability. Invulnerability. Martin wrote a song, and actually, the word is there, invulnerability.
It's the hook, I am invulnerable.
I am invulnerable.
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable. But I've been practicing, I think, last night or the night before.
So you're not going to make it to San Diego at all this year?
No.
What's the next con you're going to go to?
Probably Kamikaze, unless there's another one happening sooner.
Is that here in LA?
Yeah.
It is, right?
It is. It's usually downtown LA.
I got to check to see if they have tables available or not. They
get
might
on
have
it.
Them booked up.
Check it out. Yeah. Now would be the time. It happens the weekend of Halloween.
If nothing else, we can go and promenade
around. Do it.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot of attention that way. You don't need to have a table, and you'll have more fun. I don't know. Some people say they like having a table because then the con comes to them.
Yeah.
But I have more fun. People are always like, oh, so is Cape and Cowl going to have a booth at the con? I'm like, no.
Have you ever done that?
No. I don't want to.
I don't know
walk
what the prices
around.
Are for at those big cons. But
it's not really worth it to me. I want to go and have fun, and I want to wear the costumes that I want to wear because I like to cosplay myself. And I'm not going to sit. I sit around enough. In this line of work. I sit around and sew all day.
Yeah, you want to move. Yeah,
I want to be moving around, meeting people, exploring.
Mm-hmm.
And I still get plenty of business promotion just by doing that. So I see no reason to
Well, it's not like you're selling DVDs and photos and like
a stack
of them. Nope. One costume, I see, takes a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. It's very detailed work.
And we're, like, there is a lot of work going into this one, but we're on a, like, pretty accelerated production schedule here.
And actually, we had intended on starting shooting, like, today, but it's going to... There's no way we can start shooting before a week from now because I still don't have my props together. But I do have a really great leading man who I'm super excited
about. Oh, yeah, we're, like, super excited about that. I always wanted to work... I mean, I work with...
We don't tell who it is yet.
Oh, wow. It's a secret. But
Secret. Glenn Hummel. He's fantastic.
Yes,
a real
he's a fantastic. And I got cast... I was cast in a sci-fi movie where I'm supposed to be... that was, like, my big role. Starring role. And he was supposed to be... and then basically the movie did not happen. So I did another movie with a director, but he was a leading guy in that movie. And we worked kind of, we just had like a couple of scenes together. But I always want to work with him more. It's just he's like really like real, like Shakespearean actor. Mm-hmm. And he's really good looking and he's very serious about his craft. So I'm super excited that he is going to be on this project.
I've seen some other projects that have been independently done. And some of them, they might have a nice costume. And some of them might have some good acting. But there's been some that there's a little room for improvement in the acting area. So that's something I really hope to do something with. But we can't do it without a costume for Super Chernobyl. So that's kind of it for now, because everybody's got schedules. We'd love to chat for another 6 hours.
As we often do. Yes.
But Abby has super things to do right now.
Super.
So, no, I have a lot of super things to do.
Hey, do you want to give out information where people can search you if they want to bug you for super stuff?
Yes, you can bug me on my Facebook page. Just search for Cape and Cowl Creations on Facebook, and you should find it. My profile photo is a woman dressed up as Catwoman. It's not me.
Meow.
My favorite Catwoman. Go and you can look through my albums and see if you see costumes that you like, and you can message me through that page if you have a request to make. But I will say right now, I advise everyone not to make any requests, or at least not to expect me to do anything about any requests until after Comic-Con. Even though I'm not going.
Oh, we got in.
I know, we got in.
You just barely did. But that's only like one more week, and then you're good.
It's funny, it's about like all businesses, the word of mouth is important. And a little shout out to our friend, actor and producer, David Lockhart, who mentioned you to us.
So. Yeah, David is the one who introduced us, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, we were hiking, and we were asking David, and he's like, oh, I know this wonderful Abby, and this is how we got connected.
He's so cool. I'm so grateful that he mentioned me to you guys.
He's like, I am very grateful, and he's a great guy. We shot a movie together, and we've been like, we went through a lot of stuff with David together.
And we found out, like...
yes, we worked on the same movie.
Yeah, because David introduced us without being present, and it turns out that I made one costume for a movie that you were in, and I had no idea.
That's, like, so crazy, you know? Life is crazy. Yes, by the way, the movie called Playing with Dolls, and it's released in Europe, and soon it's coming to U.S.
Groovy.
So watch out.
All right.
Well, this was a ton of fun.
And
a ton of information, because I'm learning from you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I hope you guys out there get some perspective on it. And it's like, by the way, I still like the girls in the tight outfits. And,
I still do, too.
Empowered, okay. Empowered.
We won't judge you.
Yes.
Just be polite about it.
Yes.
And respectful.
And so until next time, this is Super Chernobyl. Abby
Polico.
I was gonna say that.
I learned
Polico.
It.
Polico.
Yeah.
And Natasha.
Classic.
You got it.
The invulnerable.
Invulnerable.
The invulnerable.
Invulnerable. Invulnerable. Invulnerable.
Okay, guys. Until next time.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. I'm living, still breathing. My heart is pounding like cannons. tried, so goes the spell of love. Such power, such beauty, beyond the strongest of potions. Always real, always felt, tortured by love. You are my personal poison. You got me trapped inside my brain. You are my personal poison, flowing freely through my veins. Through my veins.